How's it going? I'm Mel and you're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. Today I've got Jono here so that we can chat all things Sydney Swans. Jono, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks Mel. Loving to be back into this series again and keen to talk about the Swans because they're such a fantasy relevant side for us.
They really are. We were definitely struggling to just pick five or to really think about who the top five fantasy relevant players are because there's quite a few.
Yeah, I think there's so much interest. They've got such a young squad that's really brimming with talent, so it's kind of hard figuring out which ones we're going to get into. Look, if we look at what they did last year, I think despite all this excitement, it was a little bit of a disappointing season for the Swans. You know, they had that huge rise in 2024, but last year they just crashed down to 15th with just the 3 wins. And I think really it was probably due to a couple things. The first was they did have a little bit of a tendency to overpossess the ball and they wasted a lot of forward opportunities, cost them wins against Gold Coast and the Dogs. And they also had some, you know, big spirited comebacks, which was exciting to watch, but ultimately fell short against the Bombers in Geelong. But I suppose the bright side of last year was also pretty apparent. You can say that a lot of injuries took place to key players. So Malloy did her ACL. Ali Morfitt had that foot fracture that really, you know, she started the season but barely played any games. And then throughout the year, you know, Montana Ham was managing a foot injury. Laura Gardner broke her hand at one stage. This is just a few of the many injuries. But it meant that a lot of exposure was sort of given to these younger teammates. And it meant, wow, the breakouts we saw last year was pretty incredible. I mean, Sophia Hurley is an absolute star in that midfield now. Brenna Tarrant is an incredible intercepting defender. We've always known that, but she took it to new heights last year. Same with Tanya Kennedy with her tackling defensive pressure in the midfield. And then Cynthia Hamilton up forward was able to push into the midfield. And I think she had some, you know, incredible take what breakaways in that midfield. So I think overall, fairly positive year or fairly positive signs for 2025. What did you make of their season?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a letdown in comparison to the season before, but we saw a lot of really good fantasy opportunity. And given it was a injury affected season, it means that there's a lot of good potential for this year.
Yeah, I think they've got a fairly positive fixture as well, which will be an exciting start, hopefully.
Yes, and to get excited for the Swans this season, earlier Liam had a chat to experienced all-rounder Lucy McAvoy. Let's listen now.
Thanks, guys. Yes, I am extremely excited to have current co-captain of the Sydney Swans, Lucy McAvoy. Lucy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Liam. Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you here. Now, I've got one gating question for you right off the bat. What position would you say that you are, given that I reckon that there's a chance that each of the defender, midfield and forward coaches are in your ear saying, no, come join us. No, come join us.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I've created my own line. And you have to have had played at least 3 positions in the last 12 months to be in that line group. So currently it's me, that Monham thinks potentially she could be in it, but she hasn't played through the back line.
She has played a bit of ruck though, maybe chopped
out
a couple of times.
She did, so I've allowed it. I have allowed it. There's not too many others, but it's funny you ask. I've enjoyed playing across all three and have initially probably would get quite annoyed about it back in my early days, particularly at Carlton. But since having, you know, developed and grown as an athlete and as a human, I've come to realise that it's a strength and it's a good thing to be versatile and give yourself lots of other opportunities rather than just being pigeonholed and trying to fight for that one spot. So it's something I now pride myself on and actually quite enjoy and look forward to in the game if need be, that at quarter time I could be playing anywhere the next quarter, which is quite exciting. It's almost like a fresh start in the middle of a game, which is nice.
The game is never going to get stale and boring if you're ending up in a different position.
I must
every
admit,
quarter.
There's been a couple of times where I've actually forgotten which way we're going, though, particularly if I've gone forward or back in the same quarter.
That is less than ideal. You don't want to end up on one of those highlights of someone having a shot, going back the wrong way.
I know. I haven't yet, so fingers crossed it stays that way.
Fingers crossed for you. You know, I'm not going to be sitting here rooting for it, but it'd be very funny if it did ever happen. In terms of, you know, not wanting to get caught in one position, you know, you made the move a couple of seasons ago from kind of having grown up in Victoria, playing for Carlton, up to Sydney. Looking back on it now, was it as hard or as easy as you were expecting at the time to make that move, particularly to what was a very young list then and is still a pretty young list now?
Yeah, I mean, it was at the time, it was probably the hardest part was leaving Carlton. I would say that because the relationships that you build within a football club is it's probably the biggest thing, well, for me anyway, that I cherish the most. So leaving some of the people at Carlton was probably the hardest thing initially, but the excitement of moving to a new state set in really quickly. I had only ever been to Sydney to play a couple of times, but you don't do that much exploring, and then had only been to Sydney once for a holiday outside of playing games. So had always been like attracted. It's obviously, it's a beautiful part of the world. There's no doubt about it. But I had the connection to Scotty as well. So having that connection and Paige Shepherd initially, I grew up playing footy with her down Geelong Falcons way. So a couple of familiar faces was really nice, but I was also very excited by the opportunity to meet a whole bunch of different people and that had very different journeys through football than what I did, because the year that I joined, a lot of the girls had pretty much been told at so many other clubs that Sydney, because they had to put a list together so quickly, it was just like, you're finally being given your opportunity. So it was never, without being disrespectful to other players, it was never just given to them for a lot of the girls on our list, which meant that when I walked in the door on the first day, it was, yeah, you got to work for it. And it was, I really enjoyed sort of that side of it and walking in and just going, this is a fresh start. It's a chance to just focus on footy and see where it goes. And as I said, meet a whole bunch of new people that have been incredible and have made that transition really easy and smooth for me. And it's something now that I hope to try and do for our new girls that come from interstate, making that transition smooth for them as well. Because it can be difficult for some if they're quite family orientated and love to be close to their family. I'm probably a little bit different in that sense. I love my family, but I'm happy to be in another state as well at the same time. But for
you love them just the right amount.
Yeah, exactly right. They know that too, so I'm not spilling any secrets here. But yeah, it's something that I now try and hope that I can do with new girls coming from interstate as well.
Yeah, and you kind of joined at you know what seemed like it was going to be another tough season, zero wins in season seven. Yeah. 2023 was therefore a massive pass mark, I must imagine, internally, but even just from external outside the club, it was a pretty spectacular rise. That was an excellent effort. You know, 2024 wasn't able to be as successful, albeit that same like young, inexperienced list compared to the rest of the league, still there. Were there any things that kind of Scott kind of in exit meetings last year and this year that he's identified as being the things that you're going to really focus on this year to kind of get back to that 2023 level? Or is it just more of the same messaging to kind of say, you know, this is a multi-year plan and we're going to push through and be successful long term?
Yeah, it's absolutely a multi-year plan for us. And it's just about that consistent improvement year on year. And 2023 and 2024 were, as you said, they were two completely different seasons. They also had two different, completely different circumstances attached to it. 2023, no one probably expected us to win it all again. And there was no pressure for us. It was just go out and play footy and you know, see what happens. And I think our group really thrived off that. And then 2024 last year, it was obviously a little bit of we definitely expected more of ourselves and knew that we were more than capable. Had our challenges, you know, with injuries and our depth was then put into the deep end in a way. And so two completely different seasons with very differing circumstances attached. But over the whole time, even into this year and at the end of last year, it's always been about just consistent improvement and making sure that every day that we turn up here, the aim is to get better than you were yesterday. And ideally off the back of that, you know, the results come, but you'll never get the results if you don't do the correct things along the way. So that's more been the focus. And for such a young group, you've got to keep it really narrow and really, really simple, down pretty much almost down to the minute every day. Just keeping, well, being where your feet are and keeping your mind at the task at hand and going from there. Because if you get too caught up in what's ahead, it's it can become quite overwhelming. And we've got a very easily influenced group, which is, you know, good and bad. It's it means that we can control things quite well and in that sense. But if there, as I said, if there's too much of that outside noise or too far thinking ahead, it can be costly probably. So yeah, it's about just ticking every box every day in the lead up.
Yeah, the highs and lows of a younger list, it's something we've seen before, and I'm no doubt we'll see again across a bunch of different teams. You talked about injuries last year, definitely a really tough run. How important will it be for 2025 to have a fully healthy Ali Morfitt and Chloe Malloy?
Yeah, I mean, they speak for themselves, though, too, those two. We've seen the talent that they both have and how much they bring to our side. There's no doubt about it. And we're very much looking forward to, yeah, welcoming them both back this year, hopefully at some stage. You know, Morph's doing really well. She's back in full training and flying at the moment, which is great. And Moy's obviously progressing in her ACL rehab at the moment as well. And I think there's still a bit of a timeline on her return to play at the moment. But yeah, she's tracking pretty well as it is. So to have them both back in the team will be a huge boost for us. In saying that, though, it having them out also allowed a great opportunity for some of our younger players to come in and play different roles and be versatile and get that experience. Because at the end of the day, the only way or one of the ways you can get better is through experience and playing lots of football, and our list now has got quite a bit of that, which is a real big tick in terms of when you look at other teams and who's been successful. That's been a huge part of it. So yeah, whilst it's nice to have them out there, it's also been a great opportunity for those that may not have had the opportunity otherwise.
Now, I swear I haven't shared these with you before, but my next question was going to be, well, one of the good thing to come out of last year was someone like Sophia Hurley, who got to spend more time in the midfield. She looked spectacular, you know, really took it to another level, really, and also got to dedicate herself for at least a block there to kind of full-time midfield, particularly when Laura Gardner hurt her hand. Yeah. Are we going to see that same dedicated midfield role again? Do you think that has she got another level to get to as well, talent-wise?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of Sophie, she's still so young, so there's absolutely more levels that she can get to, and she's always striving to get better every day, which most of our group is, and it's a great environment to be a part of in saying that. But yeah, so if, I think I'm not actually entirely sure what her role will look like this year. I suspect it'll probably be still a lot of the midfield stuff. She's obviously running around the midfield line at the moment, so it'll be just a balancing act of when we have got the full list and a healthy list, it'll be just be a balancing act of who we need it in there at certain times, and also probably will be dependent on opponent, as you may know, and what strengths we need at certain times. So you'll definitely see her go through the midfield quite a bit, I suspect, and you'll see a pretty big sort of turnover going through there as well. We've got such a dynamic list now that we're able to, and we can hopefully use that to our advantage and make it something that's really dangerous for us and a real strength as well.
Yeah, the different shapes that your midfield can take is pretty impressive, because other players that, you know, could conceivably running through the midfield, kind of Montana Ham, who bit of a unicorn for size and shape, just to be able to be as athletic and smooth.
Beast. She is a beast. She's like, the amount she shifts in the gym is ridiculous for a 21-year-old. And as you said, her size and shape is ridiculous. Like, I don't think I've played with somebody her size and shape with that athletic ability. Like, she could play ruck even, you know, as we've seen, she's pinched it at times. But to be that athletic and such a big body in the midfield that can run is hugely beneficial for us.
Yeah, and like you kind of see those fits and spurts at times. Obviously, she's been one who's been hit by the injury bug kind of multiple times now, unfortunately. So definitely keen to try and see her through the mids. You've also got Cynthia Hamilton, who pinch hit, played, had a more prominent role when Moy went down.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to guess that she'll probably be playing a similar forward, aggressive, but also sometime through the midfield. The one player I did want to ask about, who's a bit of an X factor, is new recruit Darcy Maloney, who, if she can be anything like your last Geelong recruit who couldn't get midfield time, Laura Gardner, could become the recruit of the season. What can we expect from Maloney at Sydney this year? She's someone who was highly drafted, clearly has a lot of talent, wasn't able to nail down a role at Geelong, and has made the move up north. What do we get? What can we expect?
Another Geelong Falcon, Darcy is. I grew up playing footy with her as well, and she's always had the white line fever, but we definitely want to use that as a strength for her because she's as competitive as anyone. So when she's out there, I'm glad she's on our team now because a couple of times I played against her and while she was at Geelong and I thought she was going to throw hands with me at a couple of stages. So, but no, she's great. She's an absolute bull. Can kick incredibly well around the corner, short 45s, uses the ball really well. And she's just one that's going to crack in for us and can win the contested ball, but can also carry it on the outside as well. So another one that's got a bit of versatility, can go forward, can kick goals as well. We're thrilled to have her on our list. And we hope and we absolutely think that she could follow the same path as Laura Gardner did, that you can't crack a spot at Geelong. We'll make it work here at Sydney, and we'll certainly bring her strength to the table, and hopefully she can flourish in our environment.
Fingers crossed. That was it was certainly a big breakout for Laura, and you know, we've now it would complete the set as well with Laura breakout. Then it was breakout from Sophia Hurley, and hopefully Darcy's the next one. Kind of moving into a line that I guess you probably played a little bit more last year, which is defence. I'm going to guess because I can't say for certain. Kind of there has been a couple of roles that have opened up. Obviously, Ella Heads has gone to Port Adelaide, and then Bella Smith had been a tall that had chopped in there at times, a bit of a utility. Kind of, are there any players that you think kind of are next in line? You've obviously had Ash Van Loon join from Essendon, and then also Jazz Grierson, who's a kind of league stalwart in that same kind of utility mold. Are they the kind of prime candidates, or is there someone else internally that you're expecting to kind of step up to the mark?
Yeah, they're definitely at the forefront, Ash and Jazz. We brought them in for that reason to help boost our backline, and Jazz certainly to bring that ball use and start our ball movement from the backline, and Ash to add a bit of that grunt and be able to take some of those key forwards and help BT and Alice in that sense as well. Zippy Fish is another one. She played a lot of junior footy in the back line. And initially we were kind of like, Scott was like, where do we want to put her? Because she's one that...
another freak.
She's a unicorn in the sense that she can do anything, that girl. She's not built with much, but she doesn't play like it. She can jump. She's pretty strong for the size that she is. And she's as quick as anything. She can run, incredibly skillful for someone that hasn't played footy since she was five. She'll be another one that will probably go through the back line as well and provide a lot of run and carry for us off that half back line as well. So I think, I don't know if you saw, there was a highlight. She kicked a goal from inside the centre square in one of our recent trial games. And she's going to be super exciting to watch. I'm really looking forward to, hopefully running out with her as well.
Yeah, look, I've got on my list of questions to ask Zippy Fish, halfback. Yeah. What can't she do? Goal from those practice match, those kind of Northern States scrim matches. She's looking like she's going to be an absolute star just from the outset. Yeah. And if she wasn't going to be quick, it'd be unfair to have the name Zippy. So we're certainly excited to see what she's going to do. And I think, you know, both Jazz and Ash are kind of in that more lockdown player. I think Ella Heads was one of your key distributors, so it's going to be fascinating from kind of a fan perspective to see who takes up that kind of role. In terms of the kind of spots up forward, you've obviously, you know, there was a fair few games in Brooke Lachlan and Montara and Berylson, who are no longer there, kind of ones at Richmond. The other one retired as another league stalwart. Yeah. Is there anyone that you're expecting to kind of take on that role as the kind of medium, small forward? You've got Zippy, who I personally, having watched her highlights, she looks like she could play forward. Then you've also got Imogen Brown, who was previously in the Sydney program, and then also Darcy Maloney, who we just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. So our forward line mix, you know, we've still got Holly Cooper and Sarah Grundon are two that come to mind that can play that small forward group, probably more medium forward. She can take a good mark, even though she's on the smaller side as well. But those two, another year under their belt, will be really good for them as well. And I think they've put in the work to set themselves up for a really big, really big year, which is great. Holly Cooper, she's as strong as anything, that girl. Small, but she'll beat anyone in a fight almost. And Gru's just got that class and that really impressive skill set, can kick left and right. And they're two that certainly come to mind to stand up in that hole. I think a lot of, as you mentioned, we've got a really big midfield group, so a lot of mids will probably roll forward as well, as you'd suspect. And you see in the men's competition that, you know, Monham will go forward at times, Darcy will go forward at times, Sophie even has the capacity. Moy, hopefully when she's back, she'll go down there as well. And then you've got, you know, the bigs, Lexi, Jib, or Giselle. So it's quite dynamic, and we've now got a really good depth of players that can play multiple different roles, which is really important to have. It allows us to pull strings if we need to in a game, if something's not going our way. And we certainly are a group that you're not just pigeonholed to one spot. So you better learn the whole game plan, because you can get thrown anywhere.
So what you have to do, you're basically saying that everyone should be just taking on the Lucy McAvoy role of just play every line every week, just the rolling carousel of positions.
Yeah, you never know. Like, we've had this group's probably one group that I've been a part of that's got the ability to be very versatile. And everyone's got a primary and a secondary position. So there's no doubt at some stage you'll probably be put in that secondary position. So you got to be prepared. Otherwise, you won't only let yourself down, but you'll let the team down as well. So, we pride ourselves on having the game plan down pat and knowing all the lines. And, I mean, because the game, it's so 360 and diverse in that sense that if you're not across the whole game plan, you're going to get caught out at some point. So it's just better for us as a group to know what everyone's doing, so we can be on the same page. And then also, if you do get thrown in a different spot and we've had to pull some strings, you're not underprepared.
Yeah, and particularly with the way the AFLW operates, there is the kind of dichotomy of super contested high tackle games combined with additional space with only 16 on the field. So you've got to be able to do that, both that inside inner layer and then that outer layer stuff. Well, you talked about being in a tough position. We do this as part of every interview that we do during the preseason, and that's being in the spot of saying who will be the breakout player in 2025. So who is it going to be, Lucy, from Sydney this year?
Yeah, I'm going to throw a bit of a different one out there other than what you may suspect. I'm going to throw Lara Hassiger out there. She's put in a really good block probably since January, and we played obviously the trial games earlier, or it was probably about a month ago now, I think, or a bit over a month ago now. And she was one that really impressed, played through a few different roles for us, and really flourished in those games and took it to a new level. And then coming into preseason, she's just head down, bum up, and has always been like that, but is now probably getting a little bit more acknowledgement for that work. And goes about her business, is always looking to improve, and her skills out in the track have gone to another level as well. So I've been really impressed with her and think she's certainly in for a breakout year as well.
Very exciting. You've given some hot big raps to all three of your draftees from last year. If I had to pin you down on where Lara was going to line up round one, where would it be?
Probably in the back line, and that'll be her primary. But don't be surprised if you see her maybe float further up the ground a little bit as well. She's got great skills and is a really good ball user for us. So, yeah, again, she's another one that's building that versatility for us to be able to just pull strings and throw wherever we need. So it's a credit to her. She's willing and open to learning sort of everything at the moment, which is really good. And it's only going to hold her in better stead come round one.
That is an excellent wrap there. Lucy, thank you so much for your time and good luck for the season.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That was a great interview. Lucy was like one of the top players that we were hoping to be able to interview for the Swans, and wow, so glad that we got to have that opportunity. You could hear the excitement from Liam there. Jono, what are your key takeaways?
It was really fascinating. I was really appreciating that she was going into so much depth on what these players are doing, because a lot of opportunity. One of the big things that I was looking for was Ella Head's leaving that back line. Who's going to take over that role? And Lucy's given us a couple options there. I'm really liking Lara Hausiger, who she mentioned. But I think the one that interested me a little more is Zippy Fish, who ends up being my number one fantasy option for the Swans this year. She mentioned that she's been playing through the middle and halfback, and as the number five pick for the Swans, I think this is an easy midfield rookie option for every fantasy team. She's got experience playing against the senior bodies. She averaged 83 fantasy points in the Waffle Women's last year, mostly as a mid, but the thing is she wins the ball on the outside. So I think one stat which I thought was pretty incredible is over half of her positions came from handball receives. So she's getting the ball on the outside. Most of the time, teams want the ball in her hands, and I think the Swans will be no different. So whether she's off halfback or in the midfield, I think she's going to be a great option for us.
Yeah, I agree. They in the interview, Lucy definitely mentioned some of her strengths around like being strong in her jump in the back line, and we know there's opening in the back line. So we do love to hear that. Makes me think she'll definitely be getting the airtime that we want from our kind of cheaper rookie players. And also like the utility of her play. Like she got a goal in that scratch match against Adelaide, I believe. So she can play forward, she can play mid, she can kick goals. Oh, well, and defend. Yeah. Bit of everything. So the fact that she'll probably be on the ground and a bit of everywhere is what we want to see in our rookies. So I reckon that's a great first pick.
Yeah, we know they like to throw players around, so it's nice to have someone who can excel everywhere. This next player, though, number two on my list, is not one who's going to be thrown around. We know exactly where Laura Gardner is playing, and that is in the middle of the ground. Incredible possession-getting midfielder. So she averaged 101 last year and 115 the year before. Obviously, that broken hand limited her last season, and she had some quiet games when she came back, which is why her average was so much lower. But, I mean, I don't see that impacting this season. She's already won their preseason trial, time trial, and I think we're very likely to see her back to her fantasy scoring best.
I thought I'd do some quick math, and I was like, oh, if we take out the 82, the score-affected final or second-last game that she had last season, what happens to her average of 101.2? And I was like, goes up to 103. That's how averages work. It doesn't really move that much. But I think – I was like, oh, that's 1 point of headroom. But I think outside of just increasing those injury-affected scores at the back end of last season, yeah, the sky's the limit for Laura Gardner, I think. Great pick on number two here. And the other thing I heard in that interview that made me like her even more, I mean, Lucy was talking about some of that midfield group that are going to run forward every now and then and how they're like having that flexibility to be running forward. She mentioned Montana Ham. She mentioned Sophia Hurley. She did not mention Laura Gardner. I like that Laura Gardner will be in the midfield doing midfield things.
100%.
So definitely helps with the points.
Yeah. Our next option is also one that I expect to stay in their prime position all season. That is Ali Morfitt. So Ali was one of our best rucks that we saw in 2023, but unfortunately last year was dealing with some foot injuries. So was managing it kind of coming into the season, heavily interrupted preseason, and then ended up having a fractured foot in that week five game against the Bulldogs. So didn't play much last season, but it does mean that she is quite discounted from that 2023 average. She's only going to be priced at 83.5. And I think this is one of the few potential rucks that can go toe-to-toe with Mim Strom and could be one to start in our sides this year.
Yeah, I mean, she's coming in at, what, 80-something you said there. She's got that ceiling of 118 against Carlton's trio of rucks. So from last season, that's a great top to see. And we will get to watch her play off against Mim Strom in, I think, early rounds of the season. I mean, she does love a kick, which is great for her stat line, but coming in as that, like, probably second most expensive ruck, yeah, I think it'll be really, like, ruck strategy dependent here, because she does have, I think, Suns or something in one of the early rounds, and they are a tough team to score against for hitouts. So I think love Ali Morfitt as a player and as a fantasy potential. Not sold on her for my own team personally, but yes, if that's the strategy you're going, she's a great pick.
Yeah, that tough run, she comes up against some really talented rucks early in the season, but I find it so hard to ignore how fast she can, you know, accumulate points. Even with managing that foot injury, she was still going at like 1.5 points per minute in that early part of last year. So those low scores, you've really got to look at the fact that she barely spent any time on the ground before you discount her as an option.
That's true. That's almost elite level point per minute there. Yeah. So pretty good.
Now, the next player is also one that we're watching for time on ground, because Chloe Malloy obviously has done her ACL last season in the first game of the season. And as Lucy's told us, she's still in the rehab group. So a little bit of an asterisk on this one. But she's coming in as a forward this year, which is very, very exciting. Only priced at 68.8. whilst the previous year she'd averaged just shy of 81. So if she can get anywhere near that 81 average, I think that's almost putting her as a lock as a top five forward.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking of like notes to add and I was like, yep, great pick. The forward line is going to be really interesting because there's a few players that are coming in quite cheap and a few that we wouldn't expect to get forward status. So I think Chloe Malloy is one of them.
Yeah, it's just that big watch on if she plays in the first round. And I suppose for my last fifth pick here, it's another one which we're watching in the preseason to see what role she ends up playing, because I think of all the things that Lucy McAvoy was telling us, this is the only one she was maybe a little bit coy on, which is where Darcy Maloney is going to play. I think Darcy is a very, very talented player. If she can get midfield time at the Swans, then I think her ceiling could jump, you know, 20, 30 points on what she averaged last year.
Yeah, I feel like Liam kind of put words in Lucy's mouth a bit there about, you know, she's following Laura Gardner's trajectory over from Geelong, stuck behind the tough midfielders. So she's going to be able to, like, break out in Sydney's midfield, yeah? And so I'm not too sure whether or not I take that as a definite based on Lucy's response. But, yeah, it sounds like there could be quite a few people running through Sydney's midfield. Maloney could be one of them. Maybe she's not. The thing I like about her and why I think she's a great number five pick is we have seen a few glimpses of scores in the 70s and 80s over the last couple of seasons, being in that tricky situation in Geelong. So if she can get a couple more of those this season, that's already some decent up on her average there.
Yeah, I think there's also a few players that had played through the midfield last season who are no longer on their lists. So we didn't really go through some of the Swans' ins and outs this year, but in the outs that I'll just bring up here, I mean, Hayley Bullis played a lot of midfield last year. Lauren Zaghetti played a little bit of midfield. It's players like that who are no longer running through the middle and I think could provide a little bit of opportunity for someone like Maloney coming in.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I was actually hoping that you would not take Darcy Maloney in your top five and then I could have her as my host special. But alas, I'm going to give first a special shout out to Laura Hausinger, which was Lucy McAvoy's player to watch for the upcoming season. Sounds like she will definitely be getting airtime. And like we said, we do love that from our cheaper price players, just knowing they're going to play. Not sure where she will play, but definitely will be out there. Sounds like she's training super hard. But my host special has got to go to friend of the pod, Brenna Tarrant. I mean, last season was absolutely huge for her. Breakout year, All-Australian defender. Just like absolute pleasure to watch. Such a good intercepting defender there. She's going to be probably mid-priced as a defender this season. But we mentioned right at the top, we've got Lucy McAvoy. Oh, Ella Head's out this season. And Ella Head's and Brenna Tarrant were taking a lot of the kick-ins. I wonder if this kind of cements Brenna's role even more, gives her a bit more of that potential there. Grabbing those extra points kind of locks her into her spot. And if that gives her a potential boost on her scoring from last season.
Yeah, I love to watch Tarrant. She's such a talent player, so it'll be very exciting to see her taking kickouts and a little bit more responsibility. It'll be fun to see.
Absolutely. Well, that's a wrap on our Sydney Swans preview episode as part of our club reviews. Make sure you subscribe to Free Kick wherever you get your podcasts to listen out for our next club. Cheers.
See you, everyone.